Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. He shall decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion shall be fattened in the calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise from the
dead.
Gospel from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region of the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There have always been picky eaters. There have always been mothers who had cut off bread crusts for their picky eater. It was always an act of love, an extra step taken to go the full distance with their child. But cutting off the crust didn't change the fact that it was a peanut butter sandwich. Growing up in my household, it was hot lunch or whatever they were serving that day, or that peanut butter sandwich. If I wanted the sandwich, I had better make it the night before. I can't tell you the number of things that I learned to eat because it was hot lunch or nothing after I forgot my brown bag at home. I've taken to keeping my mouth shut in regards to lunch because that mindset is long gone. My kids still complain about cafeteria food, but I look at what they have and I often ask, where do I sign up? Not only is the general quality much better than I remember, but if they're picky enough not to eat the main course, there's one or two alternates every day. And yet, still about once a week, David, our pickiest eater, will decide he wants a peanut butter sandwich. But the biggest difference isn't that those choices exist, but the sense of entitlement to a lunch that is somehow personally tailored. If I were to suggest my old choices, learn to eat it or starve, the hue and cry is astounding. And I'd worry that the state would be at my door for child abuse. We Americans and Westerners in general are raised with what I'll call that consumerist mindset. We assume and we are taught that everything at some level is a choice. Visitors or victors in the marketplace recognize that and compete to provide those choices. Losers don't. And we get grumpy when we can't find what we want. The flip side of acquiring exactly what we want is the assumption that something we have is worthwhile to give. Now, I certainly enjoy the American cornucopia as much as the next guy, probably a little more. But there are two things in this mindset that bother me and have grown to bother me more over time. The first is a shift in the bottom line. If I got a peanut butter sandwich, it was out of love, and I knew that. If David gets one, my suspicion is that he thinks it's his right. It's not the love of his mother, but the satisfaction of a supposed choice. And the people providing the choice are no longer looked at as my neighbors or my fellow countrymen or even skilled craftsmen, but widget suppliers supplying my need for the lowest price. That consumerist mindset removes love and removes solidarity and replaces it with money. 50 years ago, no CEO would have moved a factory to Mexico for a few bucks because he was an American and he fought the war with those 1,000 guys. Today, the market will put a price tag on everything and tell you when you no longer have a tag. My second worry is that this consumerist mindset has migrated beyond our horizontal relationships with each other and has come to dominate our vertical relationship with God. Instead of love and solidarity, satisfaction of choice, and recognition of value in regards to God are demanded. John the Baptist was an old school guy. By his clothes and food, everyone is supposed to get exactly who he is. The camel's hair was taken straight from Elijah's closet. The locusts and wild honey owe nothing to the surrounding society, a society corrupt to its core in the prophetic judgments. John depends completely upon God for both the bitter and the sweet. Whether locusts or honey, whatever God sends is what John eats. John's proclamation, "Repent, for the reign of God is at hand," depends also upon an understanding that we might have lost. His original audience might have lost it as well, but John was there to remind them. A voice crying in the wilderness makes straight the paths. The God of Israel, the God of Elijah and those prophets, is a God of creation and recreation. His creation was good, and it will be again. The people of God didn't escape from this corruption. They wanted it fixed. They didn't expect to go up to God, but God was coming down here. Prepare the way of the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yahweh did not work at a symbolic level or tell nice spiritual stories. Yahweh stretched out his hand and did mighty deeds in history. The kingdom isn't a metaphor. It's a reign. That is what John was calling out. It's not a choice. The Messiah is at hand. The recreational work of God is right behind me. The axe is already at the root of the tree. He's not swinging it yet, but it's a heartbeat away. And there are two responses to John's preaching. The people of Jerusalem and all Judea and the region of the Jordan were going out to him. And they were responding to the call to recreate the people of God, to re-enter the kingdom, to re-enter that promised land. And they would do it this time not by sword on the dry land, but through water and repentance. Now was the new exodus of God and the new conquest of the land. But this time, the only thing demanded of us was the acknowledgement of our complete lack of merit. I'm a poor and miserable sinner. And a returning in faith to the power of God to recreate us. The alternate response is the second group that John recognizes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He sees them coming to his baptism, and instead of dunking them, he calls them out, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath?" They were consumerists in their way. Maybe they liked a bit of that old-time religion. Maybe they were up for some moral renewal of the right people. Maybe they got some chuckles from John's complete lack of irony. Whatever it was, they weren't there to repent, to re-enter the kingdom. Not them. They were already in. We have Abraham as our father. God's already chosen us. We're here to do what we can for God. And it's that mentality, that we have something to offer, that John condemns, that the axe is already at the root of that tree. Israel's entire history is one of producing sour grapes and bad fruit. God has planted his vineyard and done everything he could do, and it didn't produce. And it didn't produce because a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It can be leafy and green and full of civic righteousness, as many of those Pharisees and Sadducees might have been. Important people they often were, but it still produced nothing that God desired. The axe is already at the root. But the root of the good tree is repentance. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. The roots of that good tree don't sink into Abraham as our father or to anything physically that we can claim that we can do. The roots of that good tree sink into Christ and what he has done. When you're connected to the vine, you can't help but produce good fruit. Matthew doesn't expand on what that fruit was, but Luke, in the same scene, captures some of the Baptist's preaching. Those who were baptized started to ask him, "What then shall we do?" And John told them, "If you have two tunics, share one with one who has none. Likewise with food." To the tax collector, he said, "Collect only what you are authorized." To the soldiers, "Don't extort money from anyone, but be content with your wages." Might I gloss those answers with, "There's more in this world than your material desires. Let love and solidarity be ends, not just the dollar." John doesn't say, "Leave your job or calling, but practice it differently than the world. Your vocation is not to make yourself larger, but to serve your neighbor." Yes, in a lot of cases, that might make us the stooge. But what it will do is save you from the coming wrath. The Baptist liked his last day metaphors. The mightier one is coming. The one who will baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire. Today, we have already received the down payment of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's baptism, we've already been sealed. We've already been forgiven and reconciled with God. And we have this today because he took our baptism of fire. The judgment that was due all of us fell upon him. And he stood in love and solidarity with us. All who believe this will be saved. Today, he waits. Today, he holds off on the fire for the full number to come in. But the mightier one is coming. As John says, on that day, The wheat and the chaff have already been separated. On that day, he comes to clear his threshing floor. Those baptized with the Spirit to be gathered into the barn, but those who deny that baptism, forswearing the repentance, those will be baptized with the unquenchable fire. It's not a choice. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here in your hearing. It's here in that font that you passed by coming into this threshing floor. It's here in this bread and wine. The kingdom is here in you. Bear fruit with keeping with your repentance until that day when he comes again in power and great glory. Amen.